Thank you for considering me for membership at Sovereign Grace Reformed Baptist Church. I grew up in a home that mostly ignored faith. We never really even talked about our feelings and arguments, with a lasting impact on me would never be spoken of. I just assumed that ignoring emotions was the healthy way grown-ups behaved in society. We would attend our local Roman Catholic church on some major holidays, and I attended catechism classes as a kid. But the only thing impressed upon me in these classes was that I was a sinner and wrongdoer, unworthy of God's love. Even early on as a child, I would have bad dreams or be scared of things like car crashes, burglars, or death. But whenever I would raise concern for them with my family, I was made to believe I was overthinking and being too dramatic. While I didn't have a personal relationship with God, I did pray often for myself and my family to be protected from the bad in the world. I would recite Roman Catholic prayers over and over and over again while trying to fall asleep, hoping that they were enough to allow God to look favorably upon me. As a child, I lived in fear of so many things. As I went into high school, I began to the worldly pursuit of storing up for myself treasures on earth, trying to find that suitable boyfriend, being a perfectionist to ensure I would get good grades, and setting up myself with career opportunities to make money. I had heard a homily from our priest that went something like this: when you don't come to church on Sundays, you're sinning. When you eat too much, you're sinning. When you don't obey traffic laws, you're sinning, and you will go to hell because of your sin. And that was the end of the homily. Full stop. I was so enraged by the idea that I was hellbound just for making mistakes that I decided I didn't believe in God anymore. And as an unbelieving friend had said, I have everything I need in life. What do I need God for? And so I lived life building up my own kingdom. All of this came crashing down in college, however, when I found out that my longtime boyfriend I deemed was the one for me was dating someone else. I remember thinking, I've done all the right things. Why isn't this working? Selfishly, I turned back to God then, seeking to use him as a crutch to support my life aspirations. I reconnected with my best friend Celeste from high school, only to find that she was going through the exact same situation as me. A boy she deemed was the one for her was dating someone else too. As I got together with her, though, I immediately noticed how different our outlooks were. I was completely crushed and paralyzed by my current life situation. She was joyful. I was depressed and scraping by to complete my college coursework. She was thriving at school and spending time with other friends. She was able to laugh, pray for others, and so much more. I want that. I again selfishly thought to myself, whatever she has in life, that's what I want. The following Sunday, I began attending church with Celeste. I got my own Bible and began to feel better by cherry-picking verses, contextualizing them to fit my current predicament and manifest my goals. Jeremiah 29:11 was one of my favorites. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's a wonderful verse, but I could not have missed the point any more than I had. I still saw God as a means to obtain all that I wanted. But by his grace and love, he had instilled a very important truth in my heart. I was a sinner, but God allowed his son to die on the cross so that I could receive salvation. I began to recover from the difficult stint of life and turned back to my old ways of pursuing good grades, a relationship, and resume builders to launch me into a job that would allow me to live comfortably once I graduated from college. Again, however, I found myself disparaging of life. This time was different, though. I had everything I wanted. I had the grades, the career outlook, the relationship, everything. Why am I so happy? Unhappy then? Why isn't this working? I'd ask myself that again and again. I had come to the end of myself. All I had planned and hoped for was before me, and yet I was the most depressed I had ever been. This time, however, I slowly began asking myself what God thought of my choices. For some reason, I began to care. I wanted to please him. I wouldn't have been able to explain why, but simultaneously, I knew that my actions weren't glorifying God, but I so desperately wanted with all my heart to glorify him. Jesus died on the cross so that I could be in heaven with him, I would think. I've tried living for myself, and it's gotten me nowhere. Okay, God, I'm listening. The summer before my senior year of college, I began going to church again with Celeste, but this time was different. I would pray before and after church for God to show me how to live for him. He answered this prayer and overwhelmed me with sermons, Bible passages, and conversations about him. His goodness and love for me was beyond anything I could imagine. I began attending a Christian on-campus ministry where I met this really interesting guy named Matt Wiersma. He was tall, hilarious, nerdy, and for some reason loved answering every simple question I had about God, the Trinity, salvation, and Bible passages I didn't understand. It took me a long time to realize, again, me being hard-headed, but he was the incredible man of God that God had set aside for me. Now, nearly 12 years later, we have two beautiful children who are just as handsome, hilarious, and nerdy as him. To quote Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" By God's grace, he has taken me. He has taken the old, broken, and trivial life I once treasured and given me a life filled with joy to serve him daily. Praise God for his immeasurable blessings. Amen.
Morning, church. It's good to be able to be here with you guys and to be able to stand before you and to be even considered for membership with you all. It's been good to be able to get to know so many of you guys over the past several months. You know, I think I know the majority of you. At least we talk every so often, or we've exchanged names. If we haven't done that before, let me know, because I want to meet you. I want to get to know you. But the reason why we're here today and why I'm standing here today is because we're supposed to share about how God brought us to faith. It's a little hard coming after my wife because I feel like, you know, she has such a great story. I mean, I love it. I'm a little biased, but, you know, that's the way it is, right? But for me, in God's wisdom, He chooses to save sinners in countless ways. For me, God saved me in a way that at least I personally believe is a little bit on the unusual side, or at least maybe a little more unusual than we think, at least when we meditate upon it a little bit. And he saved me as a young child, Now, I was born in a Christian household to sincerely believing parents. My entire upbringing was spent in a Dutch Reformed denomination called the Reformed Church in America. I also went to school for K through 12 at an Ontario Christian school, not all that far from the church here on Euclid, and Philadelphia as well for the high school. And for whatever reason, God saw fit to not only bless me with positive Christian influences from birth, but to draw me to himself as well. In my own subjective experience, I felt drawn to him as long as I could remember and positively responded to whatever light I could for my age. That's at least how I experienced it. And this accumulated to one ordinary Sunday at church that I can't remember. I'm sure no one else remembers as well, where I remember the pastor explaining the gospel, that we were all guilty because of our sin, but that we can know eternal forgiveness when we trust in Christ alone. Very simple message that even a child can understand. And even though I was still young, and even though I certainly heard that message many times before, I mean, thinking back on it, I think he did it every single Sunday, you know, like a good pastor ought to. But that time, it struck me, and it made sense, and I responded in faith. You know, it's not just that that one ought to trust in Christ, it's that I must trust in Christ. There's kind of a difference there, right? Now, up to this point in my story, that may not be all that unusual. After all, if you've spent a long time in church, you've certainly seen children express faith in Christ, even at young ages. I'm sure that if that doesn't describe you, that probably describes someone that you know. But what makes my story, I think, a little bit unusual is what followed. Often in situations like mine, there's some kind of catch. You get older and you live a life of stagnancy and hypocrisy rather than a life of devotion to God. Or you only understand God's truth intellectually and then one day realize that you never internalized it and applied it and loved it in your heart. Or you fall away from the faith completely and only later come back to the faith. And in my case, what I feel makes my story a little bit odd is that for whatever reason, none of that happened. From that time I came to faith as a young child, I continued to act upon the light that was given me. It did not need to be told to read the Bible because I loved doing it myself and learning more about God. I would sing during chapel at school, and when the other boys would make fun of me because apparently singing was for girls, I would ignore it because I loved God and I wanted to praise Him. You know, it made sense to me. When I was in middle school, I remember examining my Christian walk, wanting to ensure that it was genuine and not false. And my conclusion from that was that even though I was not great in many ways, at the same time, God had grown me from where I had started out. I was going in the right direction, which at that age, for some reason, I cared about. And when I was in college, I remember systematically testing all my beliefs against Scripture, wanting to ensure that I believed God's truth alone, which resulted in my coming to Reformed Baptist convictions summarized in our own church's statement of faith. Now, I want to be extremely clear when sharing all that. I don't say any of that to imply that my spiritual life has been perfect in any sense of the word. On the contrary, I have to fight countless sins in the past, and I can continue to fight present sins now, and I'll continue to do so until the day I die. You know, like many of you, I think you realize that the longer that you've been in Christ, you realize I've got a lot more stuff than I realized. You know, God's kind of merciful to us where He kind of breaks us in easily most of the time. You know, sometimes we hit rock bottom, but most of the time God's very gentle with us. Gentle Father. Far from understanding all these things, he's shown me immeasurable mercy, a mercy that I don't understand. He's spared me from so many pains that many have to endure prior to salvation. You know, I only have known you guys for a few months, but I've been in the church a while. I've heard many stories. I know that probably if you were like every other church, many of you have had many hard stories and situations, you know, and I love to hear those stories, you know, and for some reason I don't have that story to share with you guys. You know, far from saying all that to exalt myself, I actually have to often remind myself to not be embarrassed of my story. You know, I'm well aware that I deserve none of this mercy that God has shown me. And, you know, to be honest, sometimes a story like mine is met by some people with a degree of skepticism. You know, we can believe that God will save murderers and drug addicts, but can God really just save a small child and that be the end of it? Yes. Yeah, the answer is yes. There you go. All I can say is that, like all of us, I think, I do love our Lord. And that Paul's words to Timothy have been true of me too. that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you. 1 minute? Okay. All right.